Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda, your host, and I'm really excited about our guest today. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. I have Richard Law with me, founder of Logo.com. He has an impressive track record of building successful businesses. He has founded, built, and sold multiple companies, including MyDomain.com, Resume.com, and NamesCon. Along with success on the business side, he has a heart for giving back to others and is executive director of Water School, a charity focused on clean water projects in Uganda. Utilizing his experiences as a means to benefit others, Richard has developed a passion for helping other entrepreneurs and potential business owners increase their own happiness and success. It is my pleasure to welcome Richard to our show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so let's just dive right in here, Richard, and fill in some of the gaps of your bio. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and, more importantly, your journey.
Sure. I turned 50 last year. I was going to say this year, but we're into the new year. My journey, turn back the clock 30 years. I was just leaving university. Took the business program there, and I jumped in right away as an entrepreneur with partners, and my goodness, I was like came within a hair's breadth of going bankrupt. And I turned the entrepreneurial journey and partnership train wreck that I was on into a job, and kind of got back on my feet. I was 21 years old. And I was a little too green, to be honest. And I didn't have any mentors. And so I spent the next 5 years working for a fairly large corporation, and then got back into being an entrepreneur because, it has so many positives. And so then since, 1996, I think it would have been, I've just been working for myself on my own entrepreneurial journey, pulling rabbits out of the hat every year or two. At age 30, I'd been married for 9 years, and my son was 3 months old, and I was diagnosed with colon cancer. I was told that I wouldn't leave the hospital. But here I am. Thankfully it was a super fast growing, colon cancer, so that it showed the symptoms, faster. And so they thought it was stage D when they were doing the emergency surgery, and it turned out to be stage A. So it's just a total miracle, that I was able to survive that. And, it really gives your head a shake, when you're 30 years old and you're working like a crazy person, it makes you reassess your life and your life choices. And so that was 20 years ago now. And, I've lived those 20 years as a second chance at life.
Wow, that is great. And it's great that you survived that, but it's also great, I think a lot of people, they either never have that experience in life, or when they do, it's just really too late to then stop and really realize how fragile life is or how important it is. And so I think it was a good thing for you to learn that at a really young age. I think it's probably really shaped what you do today.
Yeah, I truly believe it did. I'm not perfect. I think I look back and there's many things that I would do differently over the last 20 years. I don't think I fully realized and fully took all of those life lessons that I could have. But the track that I was on versus the track that I have done for the last 20 years is, definitely a better track. It's not a perfect track, but it's a better track. And, it's affected every aspect of my life, whether you're talking about, the most important ones, which is relationships, with your family and friends, as well as, you know, relationships with your customers and with your people that your coworkers and employees and contractors. Finally, as you mentioned earlier, you know, very involved in a charity. You know, pick a charity that you can be passionate about and give back. I've definitely lived along the lines of a mantra, a very simple one, of be helpful. You know, that's really driven me for the last 10-20 years, is that mantra of be helpful.
That's awesome. So I want to do a couple things here. Let's talk a little bit about today and what you're working on today, mm-hmm. and how that's shaped your lifestyle. But then I also want to go back, and you've obviously had a success track record. So that means, and we'll get into skill sets and stuff, but it means that there's some things that you clearly do that have helped you achieve this again and again. And I kind of want to delve into that a little bit. So let's just talk a little bit more about what your business today is, Logo.com, and what exactly it is you're doing to be helpful.
Sure. So yeah, you know, my business at Logo.com is, you know, we're trying to do what it says on the box. You know, Logo.com is an automated logo maker. So we're cutting the process down from, you know, whether it's 5 days or 3 weeks that an average logo takes to be created. And we're trying to compress that down to 20 to 30 minutes. And, you know, it gives entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, companies that are wanting to get their, you know, website or minimal viable product up and running as quickly as possible, that they don't get sidetracked when it comes to inputting in their logo into their website, into their business cards, what have you. And so we've gone through this process. Our team has gone through this process personally, you know, dozens and dozens of times over the last 20 years. And so when we bought this name, we knew what we wanted to do with it. We let it sit on the shelf while we were doing other businesses, but we had this idea percolating of, you know, this is what it should do. These are the problems that it needs to solve. And so for between $20 and $100, you're going to be able to have a logo and have all of the file sizes. And basically where the logo really becomes free, the price that you're paying is for the time savings that you would do after getting a logo, whether it's, you know, creating the social media file sizes, getting it into all of the different file standards, whether it's JPEG, PDF, AI, you know, SVG, all of the things that as graphic designers, we don't need to know, but your graphic designer is going to ask you for. And
yes.
So you just log into your logo.com dashboard and it's there. You don't have, and that alone is going to save you, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. Well, if we can do that for you 10 times and we saved you 200 minutes, what is that value to you? It's more than $20. So then, you know, it's like, it's more than $100. So it's like, well, how do we price that and how do we deliver value? So we're, you know, that mantra of be helpful is wrapped up in the customer relationship. If we're not helpful to you, why would you pay us? And so, you know, the money is really just a you know, formalized way of saying, of your customers saying thank you to you for something that you're delivering to them of value. You know, we offer money back guarantee because we're kind of like the Zappos of the logo industry, right? Delivering happiness. It's just like, we don't want your money if you're not happy with it. And so, you know, we don't even have our paywall until the very end, after you've designed your logo, after you've tweaked it, after you've spent, you know, 20, 30, 45 minutes on logo.com, you know, until you are ready to say, yes, you know what, I love it. Then we'll ask you for a payment. Whereas in the logo business, oftentimes you're paying up front and then to receive things and hopefully you get something. We turn it the other way around and we're like, you're not going to pay us till the end and we still offer you a money back guarantee.
That's awesome. I know I've changed my logo a couple of times through the 25 years of having it. And at one point I was really excited about changing it. And I did. I hired a guy and he was supposed to give me three different designs to choose from. I paid him up front like $2,500. I mean, like ridiculous amount of money. Yeah. And then his three designs were awful. And I said, these don't even capture anything that we discussed. Like we did this whole pre-interview and I'm like, none of these. And so I need more. Well, you're going to have to pay more. I'm like, you haven't delivered anything yet. Why should I pay you more when we don't even have the beginning of anything that we discussed? And right. I ended up basically just firing him and lost that money and then decided to move on and pay somebody else to do it because I didn't want to settle for just having a really crappy logo. So, but that I learned my one thing I learned from that is I never paid anybody up front all of it again. I'm like, no, you'll get half of it. And then you'll get the other half when we're done with this gig. Right. But wow, that's awesome that you do that. I love that.
Well, your story, your experience is typical. That is the industry we're going into. And we're like, that's wrong. Like we've done that. We've done that. We you know, and when I was before I was in the online world, I was with a company and we paid $15,000 for a logo that quite frankly, we could develop on our logo maker, you know, at logo.com in 20 minutes today. And you know, sure, technology is on our side, but still the value. And again, we paid that $15,000 retainer up front. It wasn't my money at the time, right? I was working for this company, but I was like, are you guys okay with this? This doesn't seem right. Like even then, you know, that's 25 years ago. Imagine what that fee would be today. So, you know, logo.com isn't going to replace the huge agencies that are able to command, you know, $50,000 fees. But if you are, if you're a, you know, a small or medium sized business or solopreneur and your budget is, you know, up to $1,000, whether you pay $5, $100, $300 for that logo, those logos that, you know, if you were doing like a YouTube video comparison and I showed you a $5 logo, a $100 logo and a $300 logo, chances are you're not going to be able to tell them apart. They're in the same lower market bin, right? That's where 90% of logos that are purchased online are in that budget range, $0 to $1,000, right? So that's where we're going after. We're like, you know what? We're not going to accept it, ask for money up front. We're going to make sure that people are happy with the experience and with the final product. And we're going to deliver a ridiculous amount of value in terms of time savings so that the logo, the payment for the logo just seems free. And so, yeah, we, you know, your original question was like, how have I been able to build up a track record of successes? You know, and I'm not going to shy away. You know, I've got a track record of failures, but you know, nobody wants to talk about those, you know, but I will, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's like when you're talking to a day trader, right? They're only going to tell you about the stocks that they do well on. They're not going to tell you about the stocks that they're not doing well on. But that's where the lessons of life are. The lessons of life are on how you take that punch. Because it's not if you're going to get punched in the face. It's when you're going to get punched in the face. How are you going to react? Whether that's getting cancer at age 30 or whether that's losing your job because of, you know, COVID. Right? Like, how are you going to react to it? Are you going to say, well, life is happening to me? Or are you going to create your life? And so, you know, I think that that's, if I look back, there's a couple of different threads that go through each successful business venture. And, you know, the be helpful is one, right? If you're, I'm not out here to scam anyone, to try and take advantage, to get, you know, to buy something for 20 cents. Imported from China and sell it for $20 using a slick marketing campaign. That's not what we're after. We're after delivering value where when if it's fully transparent, the customer is still happy and you know profit's not a dirty word, right? It's so the be helpful is paramount throughout all of it. But you know, surrounding yourself with team members that are as smart or smarter than yourself. And that's really been important for me because, you know, you want to be able to hand things off to other people. Otherwise, you're just doing everything yourself and you're self-employed to the point where really your self-employment is just yourself, working for yourself, not being an entrepreneur. And that can be good. If that is where you want to be, but where personally I wanted to be an entrepreneur, where I could grow a business and exit that business and then move on to something else. Everyone has different things, and it's, you know, when you have a chance, whether you go on vacation, whether you go on a retreat, whether you are meditating each day, you have to decide for yourself, what is it I want to do? You know, do I want to build a business? Do I want to have a lifestyle business? Do I want to be able to just work from home part-time so that I can, you know, be a family person and spend more time with my family? You know, or do I want to build businesses and, you know, I want to have 10,000 employees or, you know, each person, and I'm not saying anyone is better than the other, but each person has their own journey and their own ideal vision. And so decide what that is and then work backwards from that. So after I was diagnosed with cancer and I sold my company that I had at the time, which was a dismal failure, you know, but because I was trying to get out quickly, didn't do proper due diligence, et cetera, et cetera. You know, long story short, I lost $4 million in value and I came back with a severance check. But I had my health. And so it's like, okay, you know, what am I going to do with my life? So then you're deciding at that point, okay, I want these things in my life. I want to be able to work from home. I want to, at the time, I'm like, I want to not have any employees. I want to work in one time zone, not in multiple time zones. And then I was like, okay, how do I do that? Those are the things I want out of life. What things that I can do fit into those goals? And a lot of people are doing it the other way around. They're like, I want to earn X dollars per month. Well, that's not necessarily your goal. What is your goal? What makes you happy when you're doing that? And how can you make sure that the things you're doing, if you're like, oh, I want to make $1,000 a month. Well, you could become a drug dealer. Well, is that something that you want to do? Does that match with your ethics? What about the dangers, right? What about the morality, right? So
right.
You have these. You're just not not necessarily asking all of the questions to yourself because there's assumptions. So I'm like, open your mind and say, don't just start with money, but start with what is it you want out of life? What do you want your lifestyle to look like? What do you want your week to look like? I've been blessed. I've been married almost 30 years, and my wife has really helped me with this in terms of, she's like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You know, at a certain point in life, you know, we live in Canada. It's not super expensive to live here. And so it's like, you know, if you cut back in certain areas, then you don't have to make as much, you know, and then, you know, if you don't spend as much, if you don't vacation as much, then you don't have to make as much. Well, alternatively, if you want to travel more, you have to make some more. So it's like, decide what you want your life to look like, you know, and then plan your life accordingly. And a lot of people do not do that. They let life happen to them instead of creating the life that they want.
Couldn't agree more. So I think we've talked about it a little bit here, but let's just quickly identify two skill sets that you think are your superpowers that have just helped you make good decisions and really move your businesses forward.
You know, I think the ability to the skill of listening and mm-hmm. And then combining that with networking. And so I've really taken upon myself to, when I'm having a conversation with someone, is to glean more information from them in terms of like letting them speak, listening to what it is they're looking for, what ways I would be able to be helpful to them, what are their needs. And then networking, you know, I use LinkedIn a lot, but conferences, coffees, you know, local business networks, mastermind. You're when you're talking to other people, you're listening to their needs, and then it's like the children's game of when you're matching, you know, cards that are face down, the memory game. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I was talking to Belinda, and she had mentioned that she needed a better lighting in her studio, but I don't know what the answer is. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, I'm talking to a professional YouTuber, and I'm like, hey, what do you do for your lighting? Because I talked with Belinda, you know, I've talked with this other person, and they had some needs. You know, maybe I can just connect you two, and you guys can talk to each other. And then you send an intro email, or you do a group connection over at LinkedIn. And that has helped me tremendously. That is the superpower, if you want to refer to it as that. In, you know, when I connect those two people, then they look very positively on me in that, hey, he remembered what my needs were, and he's being helpful. And occasionally you're able to insert yourself and take a fee for it. So that, you know, where I'm like, oh, you know what, Belinda was actually looking for an aircraft carrier to hold a party for, a music video. And then I'm talking to some guy, a major, and I'm like, hey, do you guys ever rent, aircraft carriers? And they're like, yeah, you know, it's $50 million. I'm like, okay, well, I'll take a 10% fee. Those are, that's an audacious example. It didn't happen to me. It did happen to one of my mentors in the networking business. But that's the kind of thing that that you can do, is that you practice matching people together, and then you occasionally are able to insert yourself for a one-time fee or for an ongoing percentage of that deal that you're putting together. And that has helped me tremendously. I've earned, six-figure fees off connecting people on a 20-minute email. And yeah, it looks like a 20-minute email, but really it was years of practicing that memory yep. game, and doing it in a way, such a way that the people were happy to be introduced to each other and were happy to pay a thank you fee of having them connected together.
That is great. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that's super meaningful for you.
You know, I think I look at Water School, which is a charity focused on clean water projects in Uganda. And, you know, I've been involved since 2007. You know, I started as a couch donor, and then over time, I went out there on vision trips just to see the work they were doing. And, you know, for me, I really like to get my hands involved in everything. But the accomplishment, I guess, is that I've been able to raise a lot of funds to support the team that's doing all of the work there, and stay out of meddling. You know, and just really be able to bring in, you know, we've brought in a person as a strategy management coach to help the organization run and measure. You know, if it's not measured, it's as if it didn't happen. We brought this guy in who, you know, I acknowledge he's more experienced than me, smarter than me, and you know. We've seen this charity grow from a small charity to now it's got a team of 50 people. They're affecting the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in Uganda each and every year. And the fact that I had a role in this, you know, it's different because I'm not just creating logos or creating resumes or putting on a conference. We're actually doing work that saves lives. But I've been able to do it in such a way that it doesn't rely on me at all. Like I can now step out of the picture, and this thing's going to run for decades, and it's going to continue to save lives for decades. So to me, that's probably the biggest accomplishment that I could be part of.
That is awesome. Now you talked about some failures, and I could not agree with you more. And people always want to ask about, you know, successes or what is the common thread of successes. But for every success that you had, I mean, there is some failures along the way. And I always teach, you know, you really didn't, you might have failed at something, but it doesn't make you a failure. And I think when people can recognize that, it's like, well, this failed, and sometimes for a variety of reasons, and you learn from that, and you move on to the next thing. And sometimes it just was the timing of it, or the investors that were involved, or, I mean, I could think of, because I've certainly had my failures, I can think of several things that went awry that some were completely out of my control, some were halfway within my control, and those are the ones I really learned from. But let's talk about maybe one that you can recall. And then what you learned from that, or what you moved forward with. What was one of your greatest challenges?
Yeah, probably one of my greatest challenges was after I was diagnosed with cancer, merged the company with another company, moved to California, and you know it was great in terms of lifestyle, because I prior to my illness I was working 80 hours a week, up to 100, you know, sleeping at my desk. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, moved to California, beautiful environment, and working literally 30 to 35 hours a week. And so honestly, it felt like a vacation. You know, fast forward a year, find out that the company we merged with was doing, you know, Enron type accounting. And, you know, the value of the company cratered 97% overnight. And I was holding private stock and an IOU, and you know they turn around and say, okay, well look, you know, we're going to sell our assets and you're going to get paid as a percentage, right? So you're going to get like 3 cents on the dollar, and the only assets that we have that are worth selling are the ones that you vended in a year ago, because everything else is no longer worth anything. So you know, the conversation that stands out was that the person that I was dealing with said, you know, Richard, like, I understand you're upset, but you know, while what we're doing to you isn't ethical, it's not illegal. And wow. I was just shocked that someone would live by that. And so, you know, my response was, well, you know, perhaps what I'll do is, you know, illegal, but completely moral. You know, it's just, you know, it's not what I did. I went on, you know, someone else said, you know, the greatest revenge is just to live a better life. And so I washed my hands a bit, walked away with a severance check, and started afresh. And so, you know, within the same month, I then had someone else say to me, hey, Richard, you know, I hear what you're doing, what happened to you. I'd love to show you how we make money in the domain business. Because I was in the domain registration business, but one of the clients that we were working, you know, with that we were providing services to in terms of domain registrations, said, you know, why don't you join this message board? Come on in. We'll show you the ropes. We'll show you how to make money. You can work from home. Like I'd put my case out fairly rawly to these guys, and they turn around and with no strings attached, just were helpful. And you know, I can point to these individuals now and say, if they didn't reach out to me in those weeks, I don't know where I would be today, because it refreshed my faith in humanity, and mm-hmm. it gave me a hand up. It wasn't a handout. It was just like hey, here's a way. And so, you know, I try and do the same now to people that I come across, that are eager to learn or in difficult situations. They're not asking for a handout. They're not asking for hey, can you just give me money? But they're just like, hey, can you help me? Or can you, you know, I'll offer unsolicited advice saying, you know, why don't you get your LinkedIn, you know, network up? You know, you've only got two connections or no connections. Like, this is the way to do it. And, you know, I helped someone recently. They went from literally zero connections to over 500 within 4 weeks. And wow. So, you know, I'm not involved other than just giving them advice and showing them how to do it. I'm not, you know, there's no money involved here. It was just like trying to be helpful to a young person. So, exactly. You know, yeah, I think that there's many lessons that you can learn out of each failure. you know, that one was, you know, just the lesson to be learned, or there's multiple ones there, obviously. But the biggest one was, you know, don't dwell on the hatred that you could have for this individual, but instead, you know, see the good in other individuals and embrace that, and then model yourself after that.
Absolutely. Clearly, that is the biggest lesson out of that one. We've all had to face that too. Mm-hmm. So working from your happy place, like in a sentence or two, what does that mean to you?
To me, it's, you know, I mean, even with all of this COVID situation, right, with I've got my kids working, doing their schoolwork from home. My wife is here, and we've got two little home offices side by side. But quite frankly, I'm loving it. If you just look at the having my family close by and working and being able, you know, after this podcast, I'm going to be able to walk out and then go have a walk around the block with my wife and grab a coffee, you know, and that to me is joyous. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need to hop on a private plane and go to Greece. I'd love to do that. But, you know, just being able to enjoy the treasures of life. And to me, the biggest treasure is family. And so, you know, having the, you know, we're truly blessed in that we have a home that allows us to have enough space to all be here and not, you know, and not feel cramped. But, you know, just to cherish the time. You know, it's been really good. We before COVID, you know, we would every year we would travel as a family, you know, whether it was to Europe or throughout North America, and you know that to me is to be the ability to work while still being close to family. That's my happy place.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, I feel like this last year I've always worked from home. And so it's always had its benefits, but I've had employees though that work here too. So when COVID happened, I kind of had a very limited staff that came in. So like my days really became more of my own days, you know? Mm-hmm. And then yeah. My daughter wasn't going to school. She goes to boarding school. She was back at home. So we just had a really, really great time as a family and enjoyed our home and just started really doing more things together, had more meals together, played more games together. It was just a lot of fun. And is a silver lining that came out of this past year, because there certainly was some hardships that came out of it for not only us, but for a tremendous amount of people out there in the world. But that was certainly the silver lining, was slowing down a bit, recreating time together and being really grateful. And you're right, that is my joy. My joy is hanging out with my family. So that part's been pretty good.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, you know, it's a struggle for a lot of different reasons, you know, on the business side and socialization and et cetera. But, you know, there's a lot of good that that you can, you know, appreciate during this time.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to others wanting to go down this entrepreneurial rabbit hole, if you will, or opportunity? So what would you give as your word of advice?
You know, you don't need to know what business it is that you are necessarily going to, you know, devote your entire life to. You know, life is a journey, and, you know, I've done many different businesses. But what if you're going to get into this, you know, I would really build your network, because you're only as strong as your network. And that is, you know, it's not just getting the connections, it's actually servicing your network, being helpful to your network, trying to match people up, and then inserting yourself. The other thing that I would say is that, you know, don't jump too soon. Build up a side business. You know, you can have your 9-to-5 job. You can, you know, do your side gig online, you know, get a domain name, a website, obviously a logo, and just build your business up on the side. And then at some point, you know, whether you're working on it in the evenings and weekends, at some point you're going to be able to have built up, you know, a year or two of salary, you know, of living expenses, so that you can make that jump. Right. So keep yourself free from, you know, from
pressure.
From pressure. Yeah. And, you know, so drive a 7-year-old car instead of leasing a brand new car. Right. That's the choice that you're going to make if you're wanting to be an entrepreneur. If you are set on being an entrepreneur, you need to be fiscally responsible. And so you need to live below your means. You need to be able to have that financial freedom to become an entrepreneur. And that means you need to save up to be able to do that. And that may take you 2, 3, 5, 7 years of working a regular job, but then do that. And so while you're building that savings up, you're also, you know, doing it as on the side, whatever that side hustle is. And then at some point you're going to be able to be, financially free to take that risk. I don't endorse, you know, just racking it up on credit cards and just going for it. You know, I see a lot of people failing at that. And, you know, it's not a responsible way of living life. So, you know, do it slowly, take time, be patient. You know, at the same time, you know, build your network. Be creative. There's many ways that you can, launch a business or whatever it is that you're passionate about. You know, maybe you bring in a partner or an investor or a silent partner, and use someone else's money to help give you that safety for a year while you launch the business. But life for me, I had a string of bad bosses towards the end of working for a corporation, and at the end of it, I was like, you know, life is too short to work for a bad boss. So I'm going to start working for myself. And you know what? I'm going to be a really good boss. I'm going to pay everyone on time. I'm going to be appreciative for their work. I'm going to treat people like they're human beings. And
that's awesome. And,
yeah. So
it does make a difference. I think I always teach people that too in sales. It's like if you really want to be good at customer service, allow yourself to be serviced. So when you go somewhere and someone says, can I help you? Don't say no thanks, or I'm just looking, or I don't need any help, or, you know, allow people to actually go through that service process. Because then you'll become much better at giving customer service. I just think that there's, and that's just a tiny little thing of what you're saying, but I agree so much. It's you learn when you have your own business, I'm not going to treat people this way. So going through those experiences is what helps you then be the better at what you want to be. So for sure.
Exactly.
All right. So in closing, like any new things you're working on, tell our listeners where they can find you, and that would be great.
Yeah. Every week we're launching new things on logo.com. You know, when we launched 2 years ago, we had this meeting and it was saying, you know, if you're not embarrassed about what you put out, then you're not launching fast enough. Now, you know, we've had 2 years under our belt, so we're not embarrassed at all anymore. But we are still on that same frame of mind of, you know, we're constantly adding new things to logo.com, new tools, new templates. We're really excited. You can find me on LinkedIn, Richard@logo.com, Richard Lau, and I'm an open book. I'm here to be helpful, and you know, feel free to reach out.
All right. Well, Richard, thank you so much for being our guest today. There was lots of little pearls of wisdom in there, and I know people are going to have a lot of great takeaways, which is always important for me and our audience to have is some actionable steps that they can actually take and do. And I love the idea of logo.com. That is amazing. So I'm glad that I'm aware of that because I can send friends there that are looking for that. And then if I decide to ever change our logo again at some point or create a new logo for one of the other branches of the business we have, I'll certainly know where to go. So Perfect. That's awesome. Yeah. And thanks so much for being here and everyone else, our guest today. Thanks for taking the time to listen. Thanks for being a part of our community at Work From Your Happy Place. We appreciate you so much. We'd love it if you'd subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode. And the thing we love more than anything is reviews. That way we know if we're doing a great job for you. So thanks, everyone. And thanks again, Richard, for tuning in today with us. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.